to you. So there is. Well, we're going to turn back to that portion that we read this evening. As I said earlier, we're going on a trip to Israel. If we get the map up, you'll see where you're going. Normally, when we go on our tours, we give people a map and an itinerary. And I had hoped to have all that done for you for next week, but next week came very quick, so you'll just have to do with the map above us. My text tonight is the closing words of verse 30 in Matthew chapter 14. Very simple text. It's as simple as you can get. And the words are these: Lord, save me. So simple, isn't it? Very easy to understand. It's our text for tonight. There are four C's connected to the land of Israel. One is the Red Sea. The land of Israel goes down into a V, and at the very point in the south, there's a place called Eilat. Beautiful place. It's a nice place to go to. Sometime when you have the opportunity, go to the land of Israel. And the Red Sea is spectacular. It's brochure. It really is brochure stuff. And that's the sea that the children of Israel crossed when they came out of Egypt. Now, not at that point where the land of Israel goes into a V, way further down in the land of Egypt. But it's the same sea, the Red Sea. Then when you come up, you have on the east the Dead Sea, or sometimes called the Salt Sea. You might have a map in your own Bible. You can see it there as well. And it's a very notable place in the land of Israel. Somewhere in that area, we're not just sure exactly where, but the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were situated. God destroyed those cities. It's amazing, and I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but in the book of Ezekiel, there's a description of Sodom and Gomorrah. It outlines their sins. And do you know what the first sin? It's amazing, this. The first sin that's mentioned in that list. I think it's Ezekiel 16. Pride. The very name that the Sodomites call themselves by today. Pride, abundance of ease, etc. That's a very notable area. It's a second sea. Then there's another sea to the west. That would be in your right as you look at your map. And that's the Mediterranean Sea. Beautiful coastline in the land of Israel. Caesarea is on that coast. That was the headquarters of the Roman army. They knew how to treat themselves. They knew how to relax. It's a big golfing complex today, but they got the best out of the land. Beautiful, beautiful place. It's where Paul went when he was brought on his way to make answer to Caesar. It was at Caesarea Paul preached that great auditorium. That great amphitheater is still in existence today. And it's the place where the Apostle Paul preached. That's just on the Mediterranean coast. This man has got probably loads and loads of pictures. I think he should do a calendar on the Holy Land, do it for the building fund, and you'll be able to build another annex on to the church. But anyway, that's the Great Sea. That's what it's called, the Great Sea. But then you have that fourth sea, the sea we talked about this morning, and that's the Sea of Galilee. Beautiful, beautiful place. It's a massive, it's called the Sea of Galilee, but it's a massive lake. It's about 13 to 15 miles long and 8 miles wide. And that, round that sea, was the place for a lot of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ took place. The Lord left home when he was about 30 years of age. He left his own home at Nazareth. And he went and he took up residence in Capernaum. And he was there for about 2.5 to 3 years. That was the town of Peter and Andrew. And James and John would have lived nearby. But the Lord abode there. You'll find that in Matthew chapter 4. It's amazing that the bulk of Christ's ministry took place not in Jerusalem, but in Galilee, which is sometimes called Galilee of the Gentiles. And you see, the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save Jew and Gentile. He came for them all. We're back at the Sea of Galilee again this evening in Matthew chapter 14. Some lovely areas around the sea. There's an area that's believed he preached his sermon on the mount that overlooks the sea. Fantastic gardens, spectacular views. It could well be somewhere in the region. Tonight we have come to another part of that area, and it's obviously very near the sea. Because after the Lord had fed the 5,000, he said to the disciples, "Depart, go to the other side." And they set out to sail across the Sea of Galilee. And we pointed out this morning about storms arising very, very quickly, very suddenly. And that's what happened in the instance that we read of in Mark, where the Lord was preaching all day and they set out and he was asleep in the boat and the storm arose very quickly. Here again, the same thing happens. The disciples had a long day. Imagine, the Lord was preaching, the Lord was teaching, and then instead of sending them away empty, they're fed. And the disciples all took part in that. And what a long, very hot and tiresome day it would have been. And the Lord instructs the disciples to depart to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. I can picture the disciples in the boat setting out. And perhaps there was a nice wee breeze. How refreshing it would have been. You know what it's like on a hot day and you come to the seaside and you get a nice breeze blowing. I can imagine the disciples taking it all in, resting after the day's labor, but not too long after they were out into the sea, there arose a great storm of wind. One of the Gospels tells us they were toiling in the rowing. They were in the midst of this storm. The Lord Jesus saw them from where he was, his vantage point on the mountaintop, and he comes to their aid. He knows your circumstances. He sees your situation. And he will eventually, ultimately, even if it is the fourth watch, he will come to your aid. You're his child. He loves you. He cares for you. Did ever saint find this friend forsake him? No, not one. No, not one. He's not going to save you and leave you languishing in the midst of the storms. He will come to your aid. And as he walks upon the sea, the disciples were filled with fear, for they thought they had seen a ghost. They thought it was some sort of spirit. Now, these were grown men. They weren't wee children. They were hardened, some of them hardened fishermen. And they had experience of turbulent seas. And when they saw the Lord walking, they were afraid. They thought they had seen a spirit. You don't believe in ghosts? Well, they're in the Bible. Job saw a spirit. And the hairs, it tells us, on the back of his neck stood up. I don't have too many hairs on the back of my neck, but I'm sure whatever's there would stand up if I saw a spirit. But that's what the disciples encountered. And the Lord knew their fear. The Lord was familiar with how they felt. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. It is I. It is I. Sometimes we shirk and turn away from trials and problems and difficulties. And very often, it's the Lord. In the midst of your storm, in the midst of my storm, he would say, don't be afraid. It's I. It's I. He is in control. Peter, on seeing this spirit as he thought, says, if it's you, Lord, bid me come to thee. And the Lord said, come. And amazingly, he steps down out of the boat in the midst of all the turbulence and begins to walk on the water to go to the Lord. But you'll notice what it says, when he saw the wind was boisterous, he took his eyes off the Lord. And that's when he began to go down. O pilgrim bound for the heavenly land, never lose sight. Never lose sight of Jesus. Whatever the problem, whatever the difficulty, whatever the circumstance, and we don't minimize your problems or your difficulties or your adversities, keep looking to him. He never fails. He cannot fail. for he is God. He cannot fail. He's pledged his word. He cannot fail. He'll see you through. 'Tis God with whom you have to do. Christ never fails. But Peter, on sinking, cries out, Lord, save me. He's going down, it seems, to a watery grave, and he cries, Lord, save me. Did ever sinner find the Lord refusing him? No, not one. No, not one. And upon Peter's cry, the Lord reached out and took him by the hand and brought him into the safety and security of the boat. And the wind ceased. And the sea ceased from its raging. All the peace my Savior gives. Peace I never knew before. For my way has brighter grown since I've learned to trust him more. What does he say to Peter? O ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? The word of exhortation, there's a word of encouragement here in Matthew chapter 14. But I want to bring for the remainder of the meeting, and very briefly, a little challenge in the gospel. And it is encapsulated in those words that we read, those words of Peter. Lord, save me. Three simple things. You have the person of Jesus Christ. Peter calls him Lord. And that's important. It's vitally important. Peter has seen him and recognized him and experienced him before. We read about it this morning when they went across the Sea of Galilee to the land of Gadara. They get into a storm. And in the midst of that storm, the Lord stands up and rebukes the wind and rebukes the waves. What manner of man is this? You'll read that in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. They saw his lordship then. And they have seen it, not only in stilling the storm, but feeding the multitudes. Imagine 5 loaves, 2 fishes, and thousands, probably 6,000 to 7,000, maybe even more. And they were all fed. Every single one of them was filled. That's astounding. Sometimes we get too familiar with those things that we read about Christ. It's amazing. Every single person, man, woman, and child, went home filled. They saw that. They witnessed that. There was something special about this man, Jesus Christ. And I put it to you tonight, that is the purpose of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster. To speak well of this man, Jesus Christ. He's not a mere man, and it's astounding that he still has a human nature. Think about it. The one who called into being everything that exists, and he called it into being just by the word of his command, and to think that he himself takes human form. He was tired, he was weary, he wept, he suffered in all points like as we do. But he was without sin. And this man, Jesus Christ, the central figure of the whole of history, is not just a man. He's the Son of God. He is Lord over all. Did they not say that when he came into the boat with Peter? Truly, thou art the Son of God. And you know, this is something that the whole of the world, past, present, and future, will acknowledge. The lordship of this man, this stranger of Galilee. For the Bible tells us that every tongue shall confess, and every knee shall bow, and they'll confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Not only those in heaven, you read that in Philippians, not only those in heaven, but those on earth. And the same passage tells us those under the earth, even those in hell, will have to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. Folks, that's whom we preach to you tonight. We preach Christ crucified. We're like Philip when he went to the backside of the desert, and you'll read that in Acts chapter 8. He met this Ethiopian and he preached Christ. He is our theme. We speak well, we make much of him. But notice not only the person of Jesus Christ, you'll notice also the power of Jesus Christ. Peter, walking on the water, begins to sink after he takes his eyes off the Lord. And Peter cries out, Lord, save me! It's not a mere academic exercise the church is about to show you, to prove to you, to make you see that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's also with a view to showing you that he has power to save. Peter was going to perish. Left to himself, he would have perished. He couldn't help himself, and others couldn't help him, as we'll see in a moment or two. Only the Lord could save him. And that's our message tonight. Only Christ, and Christ alone, can save the sinner from a sin. Maybe you've been depending on other things. Maybe you've been depending on your church attendance. Maybe you've been relying on your own good works. Well, the old hymn says, all for sin. All for sin. Could not atone. Christ must save. And Christ alone. Oh, we commend Christ to you tonight. Indeed, not only do we commend Christ, God the Father commends him to you. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth, he shows, he proves his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I tell the boys in McGilligan, and I say to them, I'm telling you this reverently. Christ took the rap for you. If someone had said, when you were pronounced guilty in the court of law, and they'd said to you, well, I'll go in your place, I'll serve your sentence, you would have said, go on ahead. The boy, you go ahead. But you know, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross for sinners. He took my place. And died for me. That's how much he loved me. That's how much he loves you. This God man, this stranger of Galilee, this lovely Jesus, holy, harmless, and without sin, he shed his blood for you and for me. You've got the person of Jesus Christ. You've got the power of Jesus Christ. And then lastly, you've got the personal intervention of Jesus Christ. Peter cries out, Lord, save me. Save me. Now, Peter didn't try to swim back to the boat that he left, for he knew he couldn't do it. The waves were too strong. The wind was blowing fiercely. The sea was boisterous. He couldn't make it back to the boat on his own. And notice, he doesn't cry to the others in the boat. John, save me! Andrew, save me! Matthew, help me! Doesn't call upon the saints to save him, because he knows they're in the same predicament themselves. They're in the midst of the storm. They're helpless. He calls on the Lord to reach down and lift him personally out of the raging sea. I was sinking deep in sin, sinking to rise no more. Overwhelmed by guilt within, mercy I did implore. Then the master off the sea heard my despairing cry. Christ my Savior lifted me. Now safe am I. Love lifted me. Do you personally know anything of this saving power of Christ? Oh, let me urge you, let me encourage you to trust him tonight, to call upon him simply as Peter did. Lord, save me. I remember the night that I got saved, sitting in a car outside my place of employment. Always tell the boys in the prison, between the shankle and the falls. I didn't know anything about praying. I didn't know anything about church going. But I knew God loved me. I realized Christ died to save me. And as best as I could, I remember praying, Lord, I know that I've sinned against you. Will you forgive me and make me a Christian? Anybody can pray that. You can pray that tonight. It came from my heart. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, save me. May the Lord bless his word to all our hearts this evening. We'll sing our closing hymn. It's a lovely hymn. Mine, 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 I know thou art mine. Savior, dear Savior, I know thou art mine. We'll stand as we sing, dear Savior, thou art mine. How sweet the thought to me. Maybe you've come in tonight with a heart filled with pain and a mind full of bitterness. You can leave tonight with the sweetness of Christ in your heart and on your mind. Why not come to him tonight?